This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Lightstream, the nation's premier online consumer lender. Lightstream offers low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. We thank them for making our show a possibility.
A lesbian.
Black queer human being.
We are two gay dads.
I am a transgender man.
Trans woman.
Bisexual, non-binary, single parent by choice.
Can I ever have nice things? I just want nice things.
He just got spit up on. Hi, folks. It's Jay here. I'm here solo because E could not make it for this intro. But I do have two very, very special guests to introduce our guest interview for today, and you might hear the noises and rufflings in the background of my two special guests, so I'm going to have them introduce themselves right here, right now. Who are you? Who are you, my friend?
I'm Orion, and I'm five.
That's Orion. He's five, and I have over here...
I am Rose, and I am eight.
Rose, who's eight. And I have my kids here to introduce our guest, because our guest for this show is Linz Amer of Queer Kids Stuff. So Queer Kids Stuff is an entertainment and educational company that brings LGBTQ and social justice media to kids and families. And they make videos, they make podcasts, they make newsletters, and a lot more. And they're really badass, and they're helping to make this world a better place for families and children and everyone in it. We just watched one of the episodes of Queer Kid Stuff together this morning, and my kids have learned something. So Rose, she's doing cartwheels. She's doing cartwheels right now. Okay, Rose, come on over, please. Yeah. Come on over. Can you tell us, what does queer mean?
It means different in a good way.
Queer means different in a good way. Am I queer?
Yes.
Yes. And is that a good thing?
Yes.
Orion, can you tell us, what does gay mean?
It means love.
It means love. Is gay a good thing or a bad thing?
Good.
It's a good thing. Is mommy and mama gay? Yes, we're gay. Right. Okay. If you are a boy and you love a boy, is that gay?
Yes.
And if you're a girl and you love a girl, is that gay?
Yes.
And is there anything wrong with that?
No.
No. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Got anything else to say about gay?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, thanks for your time. It's hard to talk to our kids about queer kid stuff just because, you know, there's a stigma around queerness and gayness in society. But, you know, Lynn has done the good work and has created content that explains all of this stuff in a kid-friendly way that is easy for them to digest. And then, as you see, it sparks conversations between the parents and the kids, and then you can go a little deeper if you want to. And clearly, my kids have deeper to go, especially my five-year-old. But anyway, in this conversation with Lynn, we talk about gender, what it means to be queer, what it means to be an ally, as well as Lynn's plans for their possibly soon to come family building journey with their wife. We're making babies over here again, like always. Oh, and also they've been an egg donor twice. I mean, this conversation is bomb. And Lynn's is doing so much more than just queer kid stuff. They're an author. They have an upcoming book. They tour shows for kids. They're a podcaster. I'm excited to bring this episode to you. So I'm going to have Helen. Helen is being super nice to me today because Helen knows that I'm alone with my kids and I had to work with my kids. And it's been tough. It's been tough. So, Helen, thank you so much. Thank you, Helen. Go ahead and roll that tape. Thank you. Hi, Lynn's.
Hey, Lynn's.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
It's so wonderful to have you here, Lynn's. And we know also that your sound is going to be beautiful because Lynn's has their own beautiful podcast recording studio set up. And they look very professional. Very.
Yes.
I try.
Yes. You're succeeding.
I'm glad. And I love
the queer kid stuff behind you and your background. You win. That's a great background.
The whole business is there and shining. And that just kind of like leads us into what we're here to talk about and who Lynn's is. So Lynn's, without further ado, why don't we have you give us your 30-second elevator pitch? Who are you and why are you here talking to these ovaries right now?
For sure. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. My name is Lynn's Amer. I use they, them pronouns. I'm queer and trans, non-binary, and I make queer stuff for kids and families. You probably know me best from my web series called Queer Kid Stuff that I started in 2016 and ran for 4 seasons, 50 episodes, 4 million views, been a wild ride. I also do a lot of other things. I perform at schools and libraries all over the country and virtually. I write for children's television and consult over there. I am an author. I'm a podcaster and a whole lot of other stuff. I'm also a person with a lot of identities and who lives in the world that we all do. I'm not just some ephemeral creator, but that's me.
Oh my God, Lynn's.
Awesome.
You just blew it out of the park. That was amazing. That was awesome. And just a little heads up. We have something in common. You write for TV shows. Mm-hmm. I do voices for TV shows.
Oh, I didn't know that you were a voiceover actor. That's wonderful.
Yes, yes.
And I act in TV shows. So yes. There you go.
Amazing.
So
So we'll have to powwow. Well, maybe we create our own queer
kids
animated
thing.
Kids show.
You know what? I'm working on it. I'm trying to make it happen. So, you know.
You're doing all the good things. All the good things. So let's like take it to the beginning. You started with queer kid stuff. Can you talk about like where that came from and what it is? And, you know,
Totally.
It's super successful. It's fucking amazing. And I, for one, love it as a queer mom. So take us through it.
Yeah, totally. So I come from theater. That's kind of my undergraduate background. And when I was an undergrad, I really fell in love with theater for young audiences and like children's storytelling. I didn't totally understand my identity or my gender yet, but there was definitely something like queer about me. I wasn't like, you know, a soprano ingenue, right? And so I wasn't really getting cast and like I wanted to be in rehearsal rooms and all this stuff. So I fell into children's theater. And I was also taking like queer theory classes at the same time. And I was looking at these like two kind of spaces that I was really falling into and leaning hard into and really loving. And I wondered why they couldn't talk to each other. And I kind of went into theater and I was like, where are all the queer stories? Right. Where are the queer characters? And they just really weren't there. There may be like a handful of plays.
Yeah, like barely any, especially. And I'm from like a musical theater world.
Yeah.
Right. And in the musical theater world, most of like all my guy friends from musical theater, come on, we're all gay. They're all, they were all, you know, and there are no characters in musical theater to
not
represent.
Enough.
Yeah. Very few. I guess more are coming up. But when I was in school and
I think it's great that theater for young audiences gripped me too in, after undergrad. So I understand. And I was doing African folktales to students in Forsyth County, North Carolina, when I went to school. And I have loved it. And I started doing it, you know, like you. I just, we have lots of intersectionality. Oh, that's the word of the.
My first tours were children's theater tours. Oh, we have so much in common.
Amazing. Yeah, I totally come from the musical theater world. I'm like very, very slowly dipping my toes back in right now because it's a little bit of a toxic space.
Yeah, oh, honey. Sure yes, it is.
So I'm being very, very cautious about moving into it. But yeah, that was kind of my background. And I went off to grad school and I did a year in London and like did some weird performance art stuff, which you can see kind of kernels of in my work and like the in your face-ness of it. And I was like homesick and watching a lot of YouTube. And I was like, okay, this is a space where there are a lot of kids and there's a lot of educational content and there's a lot of queer people there. And so I was just kind of like, what if I made like an educational preschool show for kids about queer stuff? Like, what does gay mean? And I remember Googling what does gay mean one night to be like, okay, what is this? What could this project look like? And the only things that came up were like school resources and like a dictionary definition that like had the derogatory term in the definition and like a couple of things for like parents and educators, but there really wasn't anything to like directly answer that question for young people. And so when I came back to the States, I like, you know, in the traditional like theater of it all, like grabbed a couple of friends and found a free space that I could use and someone who had a camera and like sort of knew how to work it. And we shot the pilot episode and it all just kind of snowballed from there. And now we've had like, four seasons of episodes, over 50 videos. It ran from 2016 through 2019 and still really has a life. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of views every Pride. I feel like it's become even more relevant than when I was initially doing it. I tour a show whenever I get gigs at schools and libraries. That's kind of how it came to be.
That's man, what was your first episode? What was it about?
I think we actually started with Unicorns Are Queer Horses. So I wanted to do kind of like a queer theory for preschool as a way to kind of like start it off. I mean, I had queer in the title. And so I was like, all right, we're going to have to establish what that means because it's the name of the series. And I also wanted to really couch the entire series in like a philosophy and values of like, we're talking about queerness. And that means like the LGBT community. That means we're talking about gender in like trans and non-binary ways and queer ways. We're talking about queerness as difference, as a special kind of difference. We're talking about like queer from really the academic use of the term. And how do we simplify that in a way that kids can access it and understand it. And I wanted that to really be a through line for the full series. So I started with that video and then we went to the What is Gay, which is the more like SEO Google friendly episode.
Wow. It's awesome. You know, like
it's
speaking,
so great.
Like it's great for all kids. And I'm thinking mainly of like my daughter, she's almost nine. She has gay moms, you know, and feels very much a part of the queer community. And so for her to be able to watch things like this and see her family represented and talked about as this amazing community and to be able to share it with friends so they can learn. I just like.
Hats off to you.
Hats off. Amazing. And then also, why isn't it bigger? That's what I want. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
But why the fuck isn't this even bigger? Like, the kind of things that E and I hear all the times when we talk to TV executives about the shows that we're shopping that are spinoffs of our show. It's always, it's just so niche. Our audience isn't ready for this yet.
And
go ahead.
And Eve. I'm agreeing with you completely. I'm so passionate about it. I apologize for interrupting. We're not niche. We're actually more the norm than the non-queers because we don't shun people, regardless of your gender identity, your sexual, why can't I think of the word? Lord Jesus. You know, we just don't shun. We are an open door community and it's beautiful and wonderful. And I think that your programming makes me realize that all the kids who have questions and are just curious, mm-hmm. they're all in our, so we got all the kids in the queer family.
My hot take is that all kids are queer, actually.
I think so.
Yes,
well,
me too.
Listen, Linz, I have this theory that everybody's actually queer. They just don't know it yet.
They just
everybody
don't
has.
Know.
It's like that song in Avenue
everybody's
Q.
Everybody's a little queer.
Everybody's a little bit queer. Everybody's got a little bit of queerness in them. You just have to find it. You got to find your queer. Because this is the best way to be. Don't we all know this? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, you can be true to yourself and not listen to other people's idea of who you're supposed to be. Speaking of which, you mentioned that you are non-binary mm-hmm. and trans. Mm-hmm. I am as well. I would mm-hmm. love to hear about your journey and when it started.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't come out as non-binary until I was in my mid-20s, so like 25-ish. And I was actually well into doing queer kid stuff. I started the web series using she, her pronouns and Lindsay as my full name. And it was something I really discovered kind of through doing the web series and embedding myself. Doing the work, but also like as I was doing the work and embedding myself more in activist communities and deeper into queer culture, I'm sure a lot of people read Autostraddle in this audience. And I went to, they used to do a camp called A Camp, and I went to one of them where it was just like, you know, a bunch of queers in the woods for a couple of days. And it was one of the first places where I'd ever been where they them pronouns were like just normalized around me. And I was just in a space where that was like not even a second thought. And it sort of like clicked for me. I was like, oh, that's maybe something that could feel good for me. And I started like asking my girlfriend at the time, now wife, to use they them pronouns for me. And it just kind of stuck. And like, I mean, this is the way I think about coming out is that like, I just stopped lying and started to just live in my truth and authenticity, and people kind of followed me and figured it out. So I came out as non-binary when I was about 25, 26 in the middle of queer kid stuff.
Linz, you look like that. You're not far from that age now. So
I'm 31. I mean,
okay. So, okay. Thank you for giving some context. Yes. I didn't mean to out you about your age.
You're just fine.
Okay. Great.
Lovely young face.
Oh, well, thank you. I moisturize. And so I was kind of going through that and figuring it out. And I actually ended up writing a non-binary coming out arc into queer kid stuff.
So if you look,
in like, it's like the third or fourth season, it's kind of like toward the later end of it. But I wrote like a 3-episode arc of like me, I like did a coming out episode where I came out to Teddy as non-binary. And it's really cool that like lives on the internet that I did that for myself. So that happened. And then I didn't identify as trans at the time. And that's something that's come up over the last couple of years of like, figuring out that I'm a part of the trans community and like where I sit in my non-binariness and transness feeling right for me too. And that sort of started happening the last few years. It's been an interesting Saturn return for me.
Yes, you are in the ending of your Saturn return.
I'm in the end. Thank goodness.
Let me tell you something. So much better. So the late 30s are kind of, but once you cross over to the other side, the 40 side, party. You're not close, but it's all right.
I'm close to being out of my Saturn return is what I'm excited about.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I got top surgery last January, and that was now it's kind of been a year of me like living in my body in a gender euphoric way, like all the time for the first time in my life. So I've just been like learning a lot about myself now that I don't have that like dysphoria weight on me. That's kind of been my gender journey. I'm still, you know, on it in a lot of ways, but
how did your family and friends and Is it still a work in progress? Because it seems like it's been a long time for you. Well, relative to my journey started maybe a year ago, if that. So I'm
welcome to the club.
Thank you. I've always been here. I just didn't know
exactly.
Yeah.
He always leans in a little bit closer when we do these interviews because, you know, this
I'm learning.
Journey is, and I'm learning, this journey is a journey.
Yeah. Ugh. And like, I've been out for 6-ish years now, and like, I'm still on it, you know, like, there's still a lot that I'm learning and like listening to other trans people and like just being embedded in the space. It's oh, so important to like learn.
And it's not about how you look.
No,
you know what I mean? That's the thing that I get a lot of grief about from outside people, my friends and family. It's not about how you look. Mm-hmm. It's about how you are in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that's hard for people sometimes. I don't know why, but, you know.
Well, I think it has so much to do with like the ways that gender is embedded in everything we do and like how intensely we are taught from, I mean, in utero, right?
Absolutely.
Like about like the gender binary and like, you know, really rigid structures around gender and gender roles and stereotypes in our world. And it just, it takes a lifetime to deconstruct them and not even. And I think it, and so much of it has to do with, you know, that lens on perception of our bodies and how we express our gender. It's really, really complicated. And
it's,
I mean,
so complicated.
For my family's journey, I mean, it's been, you know, a learning process, I think, for everyone. My parents still aren't awesome about my pronouns all the time. I've found that like my sisters are really incredible advocates for me and have been really, really helpful in that way. For our wedding, my sister sent out a little email to my family that was actually really, really wonderful, where she kind of talked about how she like had to shift her perspective of like how she thought of me throughout my entire life and like her understanding that like I have always been non-binary. Mm-hmm. And she pulled an image of me like as a kid and was like that's a non-binary child. And like it's so obvious when you would look at those photos. And I think that that is what maybe helped my parents especially like really think about it and like and shift their view of my gender. From like, okay, going from like a being a woman to now being non-binary, like that's not the actual narrative, right? I've always been non-binary. I was just incorrectly identified as a woman for most of my life.
Yes, that's, you know, that makes me think of the conversation, E, that we had with Jessie Hempel. She wrote the Family Outing. It's a new book and it's she tells a story about how basically everybody in her family ended up coming out at some point. And her brother, she has a trans brother, and she says she really grappled with writing him in and had a conversation with him, like, well, how do I talk about you as a baby as opposed to as you are now? And she had this huge reckoning with herself and was, like, so overwhelmed with how hard it was for her to figure out that, oh, yeah, he and her brother just said, in the end, he said something like, I've always been me. It's just me. Why can't you just call me me? And that, you know, and how it was like a huge awakening to her. And it was eye opening that she had such a difficult time figuring that out, even though she's super supportive and loving of her brother and his journey and all this stuff. But it's interesting and it's layered and it's deep and it's, there's so much to this.
I mean, that's true for any human identity too, though, right?
True, true.
Right.
We just don't think about it in that way.
Absolutely. We're trying to, I believe that we're all getting to the point where we're trying to, we will bust out of these confines of all of these labels because there's so much intersectionality and over, you know, it's just at some point we just have to realize we're all the same race. We're all the same species. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what means everything.
Yeah. But I think that it's really important and shows like yours, Linz, are super important because I think about my son, who's 5, and despite the fact that we are trying to raise both of our kids without this gender binary, without them thinking that boys things are boys things and girls things are girls things, and trying to be like open with our language with them and open with all the stuff, he seems to just, it's ingrained in him that he is very binary boy and he only likes blue. And it's like this thing that I'm constantly trying to chip away at.
And it's hard, and I don't know how. And he'll even say, I don't like girls. And I'm like, I'm a girl. You live with only girls. What are you talking about? Like, what are you know, but we're chipping away at it. And so that's why it's super important for me to be able to, like, put this on and say, look, check this out. Look at look at this amazing show that's created for you, for you to watch, and that you're going to be entertained by and learn a lot as well.
Yeah. So. And so I wrote this parenting book that's like about queer and gender affirming kind of like parenting, child rearing, education strategies. And for me, it's like not even about just like chipping away at like gender binary, rigid roles and stuff like that. For me, it's about just like exposure to other options and like showing people like what it is about, like queerness and gender identity are just like this vast part of like human experience and identity. And there's just been so much in the way of being able to communicate that it's all it is about kids is just showing them like, okay, this is all like the potential that you could be in the world. And like, it's your job to explore and discover things about yourselves and figure out where you fit that has nothing to do with what gender you were assigned at birth by a doctor based on your genitalia. Right.
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 All right, folks, as you know, whether you are on your baby making journey, you're about to start it, or way past it, and just maybe you want to get something nice for yourself that's not an expensive LGBTQ plus baby. But before you do that, you want to get rid of any outstanding debt you may have. We've got something for you. Now might be the time to consolidate any debt you may have before interest rates get too high. And interest rates are seriously on the rise right now. This is what we've heard. But you can pay off your credit cards faster with a low fixed rate loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan, which is actually a really great point with these loans. It's great. And just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT. That's lightstream.com/OCT. Disclaimer, subject to credit approval, rates range from 7.99% APR to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more information. Go ahead and do that. Do that now. You had this beautiful run, and the show is still popular. Mm-hmm. Why'd you stop creating it? What happened there?
A lot of different reasons. I moved states, so I no longer had access to the free studio where I filmed it, and my crew, that was just a bunch of wonderful queer friends who helped me make it possible. It was expensive, and YouTube sucks. Just so much harassment.
I was gonna ask about this.
It was really, really bad. And this was before COPPA smacked YouTube on the hand. And I mean, I didn't have any comments enabled because now you are not allowed to on kids' content. But that was something that YouTube figured out. But it was really bad, and it took a huge toll on my mental health. And I'm currently suing YouTube
because
of that.
Yeah.
I'm like working through the trauma I have around it, and it was
that
just
sucks.
Yeah, it really did suck, because it's something, and I'm going to get emotional about this, but like queer kid stuff is something that I love so dearly. It has given me so, so much. I love that I gave that to the world, and I would love nothing more than to bring it back and to breathe new life into it. It sucks that it's on YouTube, but that is the place where it has had a life and has had an audience. And I want it to always be a free and publicly available resource, because I think it is necessary for it to be while we don't have content like it otherwise. So I will never take it down from YouTube unless I can find a different free platform that isn't as bad.
We need like Rosie O'Donnell to create just a queer network, just a queer representational queer
network for all things queer. Just somebody
create the network
that is safe for us.
We need one for kids content is the thing. Because Reverie is actually a streaming platform, an app that is LGBT content exclusively.
I hope we're on that. I got to check it out. We're going to make sure we're on that.
Reverie. But they don't really have kids content. This is the thing is that like kids content generally gets really siloed from the rest of the entertainment world. And then even more so when it's queer, because queerness in kids are just so stigmatized. And it's, I mean, we're recording this the Monday after the Colorado Springs shooting. Exactly. And there's been a lot of headlines that have talked about the fact that they had scheduled an all ages drag story hour. I believe that weekend or today or something like that.
It was supposed to be Sunday.
Yeah.
So the shooting happened Saturday. It was supposed to be Sunday. That's what breaks my heart the most.
Yeah.
Like that really cut to the core.
Yes.
Hardcore.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think that we're seeing, I mean, it's been pretty wild this last year, because all of the harassment that I got, I mean, I have 50 different spellings of the word pedophile on my block list on YouTube, right? And like groomer, like all those things. I mean, there was lots of like drink bleach, and people tweeted nooses at me and swastikas, and the anti-Semitism was rough.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
I appreciate that.
Sucks.
But I bring it up. I don't love talking about it, but I bring it up because I'm seeing it. I've been out of kind of like that spotlight for a little bit, for mostly on purpose. to recover a little bit, but also to be able to like make things in my own space and establish my ground, because I wasn't totally ready for queer kids stuff to take off in the way it did at the time. It was ahead of its time, but it was also like ahead of me a lot. Like imagine the first project you do out of college with like your friends, like popping off like that. It was wild.
That is wild.
But I'm talking about it because I'm seeing all this harassment that I got personally on like, you know, 2016 through 2019, like now it's happening on a national stage. And it's really wild to see my YouTube comments play out in headlines. And that's what's happening right now. And it's really scary. And I don't do a ton of in-person events anymore. Because of COVID and the pandemic. But also I'm starting to think about safety concerns, right? Like I did my last in-person gig was in October in Las Vegas. And it was the first performance I'd ever had where there was a protest outside. And it was scary. And like, my wife was very nervous about it, and I have a book coming out in May, and so I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to tour. And I don't know, with the political climate right now, it's scary. So
it really is, you know. And this shooting has really made me, because we've been planning on taking our kids to a drag brunch for fun. You know, I have a friend who hosts one, and we're going to do it, and all these, you know, and like we don't go to the gay bars anymore because we're old moms. But I would be the fear there, it just instills this new fear in you. And I don't want to bring my kids anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fucked up.
Yeah.
God, I hate the hate. Come on.
Yeah.
But that's why representation matters. And that's why we have to keep doing this and normalizing this.
Yeah.
And putting it out into the world so that hopefully, and the children are the future, you know, forgive my like corny thing to say.
No,
but
I agree with you. I think investing
changing the world,
queer and trans representation in children's media and in education is absolutely the way to change the world. And I don't think that that's hyperbolic either. I think that like that is actually the way to shift culture and make things different. Because I mean, look at Gen Z and how progressive and how involved and engaged they are, because they've, I mean, one, grown up in a world with an incredible amount of gun violence in schools, but also so many of them identify as queer and trans, and it's because they have had resources that we didn't have when we were growing up, and a lot of that's due to people like us who are making that work happen. And I mean, I'm just like waiting for the day when like a teen or like early like Gen Z or someone comes up to me and is like, you were my Mr. Rogers. And like that.
You are.
I mean,
are.
Yes.
That's kind of the archetype that I'm trying to fulfill publicly.
We need a non-binary way of saying Mr. Rogers, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the this is the new Mr. Rogers thing gets thrown around a lot right now.
Yeah.
To describe people. I was one of the first, but
you were.
It doesn't matter. But I've also kind of been like, because like that's the persona that I put on, right? Like that's the queer kid stuff. Like that's the character that I play. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of like the journey after queer kid stuff has been like, okay, who am I outside of that character? Who am I outside of my work? How can I find that work-life balance? How can I hone in on like doing what I want and the stories that I want to tell in different spaces and different modes and different mediums? And I mean, everything that I do is mission based, right?
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing for me and is what keeps me going.
Yeah. I can really relate on that. And I can really also relate to how overwhelming it gets at times.
Oh,
and
yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
How much it matters. And then how do you make sure that it gets out there in the right way? And
yeah. And a lot of it's been like deconstructing the like capitalism of it all, right? Of like the hustle culture and like, okay, we don't need to be putting out something all the time, 24/7.
Take a lesson from you, Liz.
No, but it's hard too. And I grew up in a family that, you know, had really high expectations and like, you know, gonna go to a good college and get good grades. And I've been figuring out my neurodivergence. And so like that's been a journey all on its own. And figuring out like, okay, I can still do the work, but I can also take care of myself at the same time. And like I have taken up a mantle for sure and like use the skills that I have and like the intuition that I have and the want that I have to do this work and to be this person within my career. But I also like am still a human being. And at the end of the day, I have to be able to do this in a way that's sustainable and the way in a way where like I can still take care of myself and function. And that has been a huge, huge learning curve.
I got to say, I'm so happy to hear that your generation is focusing on self-care. As a Gen Xer, it was not the push. And especially in the Black community, it was you better be a Claire Huxtable. You know what I mean? That's our model. Yeah. And to work like that and to still take care of a family and to still look good. And it's incredible the pressure that our generation, Generation X has had. But it's so great to see your generation and the Gen Zs say, wait a minute, do you really have to keep going? Mm-hmm. Do you only need to get by on 4 hours of sleep? Maybe you should, you know, talk to a mental health professional. And I know that we laid some of the ground rules for that, but I feel like y'all took it and just, I don't know why I'm running, but just ran with it. And the work that you're doing is so important. And I know it could be scary, but you got a squad. You know what I mean? You got a squad. So in us, most definitely, in our community, we squad up. So when you do travel, making sure that you have us around you. And because our network is deep, you know, between the HRC, between GLAD, between our
LGBTQ
podcast.
LGBTQ task force.
There's so many places.
We're a community and we will rally
and we will
around.
Keep each other safe because you shouldn't be scared. I've been thinking about that a lot too, about going in public and doing things. And it's a lot. Because I'm wondering, are they getting at me because I'm Black? Is it because I'm queer? Is it like, what is it?
It's a lot.
There's some intersectionalities in there that cross.
Absolutely. Yeah, just keep doing the good work. It's necessary.
Let's segue to what are you doing now? You're still doing this work, just in a different way. What are you up to?
Lots of different ways. And queer kid stuff is still very much alive. We've got like a Patreon and we put out educational resources. And I do those like performances across the country and virtually. Like queer kid stuff is still alive and well in me and in Teddy, right? Yes. So, but outside of that, so yeah, I run it as a business. And we do a lot of cool projects. We had this like letter writing project where we commission queer and trans grownups to write letters to queer and trans kids. It's called Dear Queer Kid. It's just like a beautiful, beautiful project. We're working on connecting with more queer and trans educators. We just threw like a mini conference. So we're doing a lot of work kind of like under that brand. Otherwise, I'm now an author. I wrote a book. It's coming out in late May. So that's pretty wild. That's what kind of my podcast is an extension of. It's called Rainbow Parenting. So I'm doing that. I'm doing a lot of work in the TV film space. I've been pitching shows and writing some scripts, and I can't really talk about most of it.
That's a good thing, though. That means that's it's popping.
Yeah. So the thing that is out is that I worked on the Blues Clues and You Pride Parade video that like went super viral a couple prides ago.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Bad self.
That was pretty awesome. I wrote some stuff for their digital team. And if anyone is in Canada, I wrote on the Faye and Fluffy show, which was awesome. It's basically like Drag Story Hour, but in a children's like preschool show. It's really only in Canada right now, unfortunately. But Canadians get to enjoy that.
Step ahead, you Canadians.
I know, right? I had a great time writing that. So I'm doing a lot.
And what is your book? Describe what the book is and what people will...
So it's called Rainbow Parenting. It's your guide to raising queer kids and their allies. So it's really like a parenting philosophy book around how to raise kids in a queer and gender affirming way when you don't know how. Because I mean, and that's for straight and like ally and cis ally parents for sure. But it's also for queer families who... we all grew up in a cis heteronormative world. And like, how do we parent when that's the only thing we know? Yeah. How do we raise kids? And it goes through for, I mean, the first kind of part of the book is like really deconstructing, like, this is what like discrimination against kids is, childism. These are the stigmas that we hold around queerness and children and why this is like such like a hot button topic. So really getting in there and like getting comfortable with being vulnerable and like understanding that like we make mistakes in this work, and it's just about being transparent and open and honest with young people. And then it kind of goes into like an age-based kind of guide through how to talk about sexuality, gender, identity, activism, social justice, intersectional identities, all of that kind of like as your kids grow older. So in kind of infancy, then into pre-K, and then kindergarten.
Love it. So first you get the If These Overs Could Talk book and you learn how to make your baby.
Then you read
Lenses and you learn how to parent them so that we're doing a rock star freaking job creating these amazing human beings who are going to go out there and change the freaking world.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That sounds like a good plan.
I think it's a perfect plan. When does this book come out?
It comes out May 30th.
Okay, we have some time.
Yeah, we have some time. Oh, it's pre-orderable right now.
You can pre-order it right now.
Where can we pre-order it?
Anywhere you get your books. My personal preference is bookshop.org. I love them over there. But you can get it wherever you like getting your books.
Go to your local bookstore and pre-order that jam.
Exactly.
Go do that. Go to your library and tell them they need to pre-order this book.
Request it at your library, please.
Yes, do it all. And then do it also for my book, please. Thank you so much.
Yes. My idea is that like this is a perfect baby shower book.
Yes. This is a perfect little duo of baby shower book right there. Wedding book. It's perfect wedding and baby shower book. Look at that. Boo, booyah. We're creating whole packages for you.
I have some queer weddings come up. You two just did it.
We just really did it.
Thank you. I'm getting two of those books. The Mayor Wedding is in June.
Hey! And then also, you know, and then get a subscription to our shelves for your kids when they're grown, because our shelves is great, too. Look, we got it all figured out for you. You don't even have to go anywhere else except listen to this podcast and do all the steps we've just laid out.
Yes. And the queers are going to be okay. We're going to be okay.
I think so.
Absolutely.
We're changing the world. We're getting there. Yeah. We're getting there. One teeny tiny step at a time and then a couple steps backward. But we're making progress.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the idea.
And so, okay, so it wouldn't be If These Overs Could Talk, the Queer Families podcast, if we didn't talk to you.
If we didn't ask.
About what's your the possibility. Sign is. Oh God, here we go with the sign.
What sign?
E needs
you?
To know your sign.
Well, I'm a Scorpio.
So is my son. Happy birthday.
I had a feeling. Happy birthday, yes.
Thank you. Scorpio sun, Leo moon, Aquarius rising. I got a lot of fixed energy.
Nice. That's a good blend.
I think so. It's a little intense sometimes. Yeah. But we get through.
But that's where that fire is. That's why you keep creating all this good stuff.
It's stubborn to a fault.
And you have alluded to your wife. We know you mm-hmm. have a wife.
Yes, I do.
Have y'all had the possible baby making chat? And what have you discussed in regards
if
to
if you're
that?
Comfortable talking about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm comfortable. I'm trying to like figure out how much I've like told the rest of my family versus how much I'm going to be telling the great public of your podcast. But it's okay.
You heard it here first, folks. Exactly. I'm like, exclusive.
I'm like,
exclusive.
I don't think my parents are going to. I don't think they're going to listen to this podcast. Who knows?
Probably not.
Who knows?
I mean, the whole world listens. Didn't you know that, Linz?
Oh, yeah, obviously. yeah, so we definitely have had conversations. I mean, kids have been part of the conversation for a long time. I definitely want kids, and my wife does. It's not quite as easy as some of the heterosexuals.
No. We've got a lot of decisions to make before we talk about this all the time. The intentionality. Oh, that you have to put into these families and the decisions you have to make before you even get to the point where you're starting the process.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Is a whole thing in and of
itself. You should probably listen to the first 190 episodes of this show because there you go. If you got a question or a need or understanding.
I know. Yeah. So we've been having conversations, I want to say like almost over like the last year or so mm-hmm. of like how we want to go about it and like what the thought process is. I think like the first part of the conversation was like, who's going to carry? And I am like not totally at a place in my gender journey where like that feels comfortable for me. It's also like not necessarily something I've like been really wanting to do in my life. And I feel like people have strong opinions about wanting to be pregnant. I feel like this is like people, there are some people who like really want like that to be an experience that they have. And I've never really felt that. And I think my wife really wants to. So
that's
she,
the best. Yeah. That's a great scenario because mm-hmm. when you have a couple where one really wants it and the other one's like, yeah, not so much. Mm-hmm. That's an easy decision made right there.
Yep.
At least
absolutely.
In the moment. You never know what things could change.
Exactly. And I could definitely foresee in the future, like that being something I'd be open to. I mean, the other consideration is like, I'm someone who is a public figure and like is whatever I do to my body. I mean, is probably going to be public in some way, shape or form. And mm-hmm. trans pregnancy is something that's really difficult in like public world. Mm-hmm. So that's like also a consideration I'm having. But yeah, that's something I maybe will do in the future. I have donated my eggs before though.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Twice.
Well, we're going to have to get into that. But yeah, tell us just where you're at with this and then let's mm-hmm. segue to that. I didn't even know that. I love it when we learn this new stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we can talk about that in a second. But yeah, so my wife and I have been having, so she's probably going to carry, she has PCOS. So that's something like she's been trying to figure out and understand better about her body. And we had like a conversation about like known versus unknown donor. Mm-hmm. That was like a big thing that it still feels pretty overwhelming to me. But I think we're probably going to go with an unknown donor. And so we're looking at sperm banks and mm-hmm. trying the biggest thing is like budgeting and saving right now. It's expensive to get.
We have a discount code OCT. Ooh. California Cryobank.
Ooh, okay. OCT. We might go with Seattle, but who knows?
Okay.
We're not.
And can I just jump in and mm-hmm. say PCOS is something that I had, and though I didn't get to give birth, it mm-hmm. did clear up through acupuncture.
Oh,
acupuncture and Western medicine, the metformin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the acupuncture did it. It gentilized. This is a word that I made. Gentilized.
I love it.
It gentilized.
We make a lot of words.
The drug, and it moved things along a lot faster.
Fascinating. She has done acupuncture for her chronic pain, but I didn't know that it was a thing for PCOS.
Fertility acupuncture is a big thing.
Fascinating. I will pass that message along.
Yes. Queers helping queers, honey.
Exactly,
that's what it's about.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's we're starting to like talk to midwives and My wife's like doing some blood work stuff, and yeah, we're really just kind of like saving up so we can start probably in like the late summer after my book comes out and like the nuttiness of June happens and when things are hopefully like a little more chill.
Yeah, but it's never chill enough. This is the one. Listen, my mother is not one of those moms that really gives advice. She just, oh, I don't know. What do you think about that? That's usually Mama Sue's MO, but the one piece of advice my mother gave me was when we were grappling, like, do we start? Do we do it? I don't know. We have this going on. My mother said, it's never the right time. Either you do it or you don't. It is never the right time. And it's never going to be the right time. It really isn't. Because you lose all control when it comes to chill. There's no control. All this is your first lesson in life is there's no control. You think you have things under control, but you really don't. And you really learn that when you start making them babies and
And I'm around kids a lot. I teach early childhood music and I nanny and I'm around kids a lot for queer kids stuff. And so, yeah, the chaos of young people is I'm very like in and out of it right now. And I can choose when that's a part of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're trying to make that a thing. So, yeah, that's where super we're at with exciting. The journey.
Well, we have to have you back.
Absolutely.
We'll how it goes. When it's all coming together and we're making decisions.
Yeah,
and,
I really feel like I'm going to regret having written a parenting book.
No,
it's going to put you to the test, though.
You have this area of expertise when it comes to this stuff, and we want your knowledge when it comes to queer kids stuff and how to talk to our kids about it all.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I think you just do a beautiful job. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we need to know about the egg donation because where did that come from? And walk us through that. And kudos to you. Good job.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
It's something, I mean, I, you know, went freelance and was pretty broke and reached out. It was a fertility clinic in New York that's very reputable. And they were great. They just kind of like, they really liked me and I passed all the genetic testing and I'm like one of like probably a handful of Ashkenazi Jews who doesn't have the, isn't the carrier for Tay-Sachs. I did it twice. Basically I went through like the IVF process and my body was like pretty fine with it. I was very bloated and, you know, went through the procedure. And what was wild is the second time that I did it, I wasn't living in New York anymore. So I was kind of like doing it long distance, which was weird. But when I was in New York and like doing the actual, like when you're doing the actual cycle, you have to like go in for checkups like every couple of days. And it's a very intensive process. It was March 2020.
So
it was like, pretty much the week that everything started shutting down.
Wow.
And I remember, so I had to go on the subway and get to the fertility clinic like every other day for these checkups. And I remember every time I went, there would be less and less people in the waiting room.
My God.
The hand sanitizer started coming up. People started sitting like a seat away from each other. People started wearing masks. It was really wild. And I was, and I think I was one of the last people who did a donation.
Do they tell you where your eggs go, or if do they let you know if any children were born from?
No. So the clinic that I did it through is completely anonymous. And that wasn't necessarily my choice. That's just like how this particular clinic does it, is that it's blind on both sides. So I have no idea who the parents are. And
that's crazy because the donors, the sperm donors, can know.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, I think that's just, I don't think that that's true for everyone. I think that that's specific to this clinic.
Also, this was a couple years ago. Things have changed a lot in the past two years.
Yeah. So I have no idea if I have biological children. I donated twice. So that's more of a chance that it took and worked. But I really don't know. The only way I would know is if I did 23andMe and they also did 23andMe.
Which could end up happening in the future. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that would be the reason why I would do one of those services.
To find out.
Yeah, maybe like in like, you know, 16 years.
What a good thing you did.
That's amazing.
What a beautiful thing.
Thanks.
You're an awesome human being. It's just, I feel like we'll never have enough time.
I know. Yeah,
it turns out that I'm incredibly fertile.
That's amazing. Well, maybe. So this is the beauty of having two folks with uteri who are creating a baby, because you know you're super fertile just in case. Just in case.
Yeah.
You can use your, and you don't have to carry reciprocal IVF. Yeah, we've talked about that.
We've definitely talked about that as an option in the future for sure. Because we've talked about like wanting my wife to carry and like to use her egg for the first child and potentially use my egg for the second child. Whether or not I carry would probably be a monetary thing. Because I'm assuming that's a lot more expensive.
It is. Yeah.
So like money is like the thing. But
well, hopefully insurances even come a longer way for us queer folk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think my wife's job just started doing a fertility stipend. So yeah, we're getting
baby
there.
Steps.
Yeah,
baby
exactly. Steps. Literally.
Baby steps to baby steps.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ooh, look at that. Talking about baby steps to baby steps. I love it. It's just been such a pleasure to talk to you, Linz. Mm-hmm. And like E said, I really do feel like we could talk forever. And I can't wait to show my kids. I'm tuning them into Queer Kids stuff like ASAP.
But you know, it comes better from other people. So probably have somebody else refer it, because my son won't watch it if I say watch it.
There's that. Yeah. But we're just so glad you're out there and you're doing the work and pushing through it, even with all of the terrible rhetoric you've gotten. We're here for you. We're here for
you,
and
we got your
community.
Back.
Appreciate it.
And we are here to uplift this amazing, amazing stuff you're doing. We love it. Absolutely. And we can't wait for you to come back and tell us about your baby making journey.
Oh, yes.
And you can bring your wife maybe at the time. Ooh, if she's into
fun.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
We love wives.
Yeah.
Oh, tell everybody all the places they can find you and where to get. We already talked about the book, but just say it again, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, totally. I am at Linz Amer, LINDZAMER on all social platforms. You can also follow my work at Queer Kid Stuff. One kid. Queer Kid Stuff. People get that wrong sometimes. I wrote a book called Rainbow Parenting. You can pre-order it now. It's going to be out May 30th of 2023. I also host a podcast that's an extension of that book called Rainbow Parenting. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. And I think those are all the places.
Awesome.
Love it. Go check out Linz. Follow, hit like, do all the stuff. All the stuff we make you guys do for us, now y'all have to do it for Linz too.
Absolutely.
It's community.
Exactly.
Thank you so much,
Linz.
Thank you for having me. This was lovely.
Linz. Yes, I love Linz. What a great, awesome, amazing conversation that was. Like, Linz really knows their stuff. I'm so glad they came in to talk to us. And, you know, this conversation and all of this just really reiterates the fact that representation really freaking matters. And the more we normalize these conversations and topics, especially to our kids, the more positive change we're going to see in the world. The kids are going to go out and change the world. I mean it. They're badasses. I'm really grateful to Linz for coming on to chat with us. And you should just go out there and follow their podcast and pre-order their book and do all the stuff that we ask you to do. And I also have to say a huge thank you, you know, to all of our Patreons who are helping to make this show possible. And you can join Patreon too. You would do a good thing, and you get bonus content like videos of most of our episodes dropped a day early, crazy behind the scenes shenanigans of me trying to get it together with my kids, perhaps, and anything else I can think to put up there. It all goes up there. It's a special place for community. You're just going to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join that. And the holidays are coming. It's a great time to get yourself some If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Family Podcast merch. And we have all kinds of merchandise. And there are so many designs. You can put those designs on any product in the store. We have t-shirts, mugs, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases, you name it. It's there. Go to tpublic.com, search for If These Ovaries Could Talk, or go to our link in bio in our Instagram and get to the store. And you're going to find that also on our website as well. We're everywhere. You can't miss it. Go get that merchandise and join us on Patreon and, of course, social media. Can I ask y'all a favor? If you're not following us on social media, please go and do so now, because whenever we take a break from releasing episodes, we're still posting in our social media. We are still staying present for all of you. And so it's just a great place to keep in touch with us and stay in community. So you're going to follow us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and also on YouTube. We're everywhere. Support the podcast. Join our community. Be there with us. We love you. I have to say a huge thank you to our sponsor, Lightstream. Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender, and they offer low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. And a huge, huge, huge thank you to all of you for tuning in and to all of our Patreons who are helping to make this show a possibility. And without further ado, I have to say, eggs, ovaries, out. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.